Our sermon today continues our backward through the New Testament alphabet series, and our R as in roof. And our scripture is Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. One day, while Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your heart? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say stand up and walk? Both so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home." Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Thank you, God, for all the friends who make our lives so much better, and especially for the best friend any of us could ever ask for, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, think about the really good friends in your life, the ones who are always there for you through thick and thin, the ones who will always help you out no matter what, whether you need a shoulder to cry on or a place to stay or maybe even alone, the ones that laugh with you, cry with you, listen to you, and love you just the way you are. Those kinds of friends are a true blessing and treasure. The friends who bring you to Jesus are the best of all. I love this story about the four faithful friends who brought their paralyzed compadre to Jesus, but I often wonder about the backstory. I have so many questions, as I'm sure you do too. How long had the man been paralyzed? Was he born that way, or had he been injured later in life or contracted something like polio? Whose idea was it to take the paralyzed man to Jesus? Had the poor man himself heard of the wonder-working rabbi and reached out to his buddies? "Can you take me to see him? Maybe he can heal me." Or perhaps his four friends gathered one day and shared how distressed they were about their friend's condition. They didn't want him to suffer any longer, so they decided to seek out Jesus. These were great friends, wanting to do whatever they could to help their comrade. After they made a pact to see what Jesus could do for him, they picked the paralyzed person up and carried him to the house where Jesus was preaching. There was one at each corner of the bed, each of them demonstrating a characteristic of a loving friend: compassion, not wanting him to miss out on living life to its fullest any longer; hope, knowing that getting their palsied pal to Jesus could be life-changing and restorative, not only for him, but for them as well; determination, whatever it took, they were going to get some help for their friend. And when they came to the house and saw the crowd, they were not daunted. They couldn't get through the front door, so they looked for and found another way to get him to Jesus. That took strength, another desirable characteristic in a good friend. Not only physical strength and the ability to pick up the bed and carry it to the house, to take it up the stairs to the roof and then lower it so their friend was right in front of Jesus in the room below, but spiritual strength as well, a belief that Jesus could and would heal him. The other better word for that is faith. They had an obvious faith that impressed Jesus. Faith is perseverance, patience, overcoming obstacles in order to get to Jesus. He knew what the friends had come for, and it was a good time for them to show up because the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal that day. Well, that day and every day. Jesus was just waiting for someone in need of healing to come to him. But oddly enough, he didn't heal the paralyzed man right away. He knelt beside the bed and said something odd: "Your sins are forgiven." That wasn't what the four friends expected to hear. They expected Jesus to say, "You are healed." They didn't expect to enter into a debate as to whether illness was the result of sin. for a brief moment. They were perplexed and frustrated. But at that moment, Jesus wasn't talking to them. He knew the man needed forgiveness more than he needed the ability to walk. His soul needed healing just as much as his body. His soul was paralyzed too, and it needed release just as his arms and legs did. Perhaps he had to be cleansed of bitterness and self-pity and resignation to have those impediments ripped off the roof of his soul so he could come to Jesus, open and willing for the light of the Son of God to come into his life. Jesus was keenly aware that among the crowd were Pharisees and scribes. They weren't there to listen and learn from Jesus or to have their hearts and minds changed and enlightened. As always, these detractors and distractors were waiting for a chance to put him down or disrespect him and call into question everything he said and did, everything. It was no different this day. The Pharisees and scribes latched onto his gentle words of reassurance. What? That's blasphemy. No one can forgive sins but God. You see, they didn't believe Jesus was divine. They didn't believe Jesus had been sent from God and was acting as God's representative on earth. And as such, he was imbued with the power to heal all kinds of illnesses and, yes, to forgive sin. Jesus emphasized that he had received power on earth to forgive sins, the same power he had received in heaven before he came to earth. He had the authority to do God's work to heal and forgive. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, as always. He knew the common belief was that people were sick or paralyzed because of sin. The Jewish law said there is no sick man healed of his sickness until all his sins have been forgiven him. That sickness was caused by sin was probably not Jesus' belief. As he would tell his disciples later, some illnesses happen just because, just to point to God's glory and God's power as the sufferer received complete and total healing. Jesus was playing with the Pharisees and scribes. He knew how they always resorted to righteous indignation whenever he spoke, especially if his words contradicted their own long-held beliefs. You know, when he said, feed the poor, take care of the sick, if you have two coats, give the person without a coat one of them, go the extra mile whenever anyone asks you to, even if it's an enemy. In this instance, the scribes and Pharisees were desperate to paint Jesus as a blasphemer and therefore anti-God. They didn't want the people to follow Jesus or accept him as the Son of God because then no one would follow them and they would have no power over the people to intimidate and exploit them. Jesus was putting an end to outdated notions about what caused illness and about God's power. Having set the Pharisees up, he proceeded to heal the paralyzed man and posed a riddle to them. Was it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or was it easier to say get up and take your bed and go home? Jesus had healing power and he had forgiving power. There was no need to choose between forgiveness and healing. You can have both physical and spiritual healing. It was easy to see the results of saying get up, but how does one show that one has been forgiven? Walking out the door on his own two legs, carrying his bed, it was easy for the paralyzed man to show he had been healed. How would he show his sins had been forgiven? By living a different kind of life, a life of joy and gratitude and service, a life in which he glorified God for sending Jesus to him. He lived the words of Psalm 32, which we heard earlier. He could have turned to the crowd and paraphrased parts of it. I am blessed because my transgressions are forgiven. The Lord no longer counts them against me, and I am free to walk, to work, to live. I acknowledged my sin to you, Lord, and did not cover up my iniquity like the tiles that covered the roof my friends broke through to bring me to you. And you forgave the guilt of my sin, Lord. So now I sing songs of deliverance in harmony with my friends. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts him. It surrounds me. I came through the roof, and now I'm proof of that love and power. I would hope the man didn't just leave and walk on home. I hope his friends came running down the stairs that led to the roof and jumped on him with shouts of happiness and thankfulness. I hope the man went back the next day, went back to thank Jesus for his miracle, and I hope the next day the five of them came back and fixed the roof. Jesus called him friend. What an honor to be considered Jesus' friend, to have a new relationship with him, to know that as much as your earthly friends love and care for you, Jesus takes it to a higher level. He's always there when you cry and when you laugh. He's always there to comfort you when you feel lost and alone. He is always there to listen to your woes and your worries. He's always there to help you and heal you. So rip open the roof that covers your heart and let the sun shine in. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for the loving friends in our lives who stick with us even when times are tough. We thank you, God, for the loving, healing friend you sent us, even Jesus the Christ, the one in whom we rejoice, the one whom we serve, the one in whose name we pray. Amen.